Well, it's Easter, and our church is packed. Hallelujah. Well, they may not remember, the church isn't this building. The church is all of you out there, so it is packed. And we're so glad that you're here, you're joining in, and that you're... I'm thankful for God to give us this technology and all of the people who are helping this happen so that we can have church and we can do it worldwide. That is absolutely amazing. But who would have ever thought, we never did, that something like this could happen? But praise God, He's still sitting on the throne in all of this. We've been talking about, as a church, we're here for such a time as this. And these are very interesting times. Very, very interesting times. We talked about how our world needs hope. It needs answers. It needs peace. And that they're all found in Jesus Christ. We also realized that Christ is our certainty in times of uncertainty. That He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's got a plan and He's still on the throne. And that it's a time for us to draw near and to hear what the Spirit has to say to us because He's going to guide us. And also it's a time to get back to basics. We talked about that last week. A time to get back to basics, that Jesus loves you. This I know because the Bible tells me so. It's so simple. It's so basic. That's why Jesus Christ came, is to simplify religion. As a matter of fact, He came for relationship, not for religion. He came to show us how important He is and how much He indeed loves us. And again, you can get all those messages as you go online or as you download our app. They're there as well. But I want to continue on in this theme because I think it's very appropriate for Easter. Jesus came for such a time as this. Jesus came for Easter. Jesus came to give His life a ransom so that we could be forgiven, so that we could have heaven's door open to us. Now, before this pandemic started, we had an amazing Easter presentation for you. We had written the whole script. We had done the original score, all of the music within house. We were practicing all of that. And then we realized we couldn't pack out the house. So we thought of a different way. We were going to do stuff down on our street corner. We're going to have people down there. We're going to do a little play or drama down there so that people driving by could see it. But then social distancing came in. And so we realized we couldn't do that either. And so we decided to do something different. We've shot a couple of just really quick videos. We just shot them with our phone. And we're going to play those in just one moment. But I want to start here, first of all. Where we're going is that we're talking about Jesus on the road to Emmaus, and He shows up to the two disciples. But let's look at it in present day. Where are we at today, if you will, with that story? Look at this.
Missed. Oh, so close.
Yet so far.
Hey, dude, not cool.
This is lame.
What are you doing?
I don't know. I'm just tired of this, you know? I miss my friends, my family. I don't know what the future holds. I'm just struggling, you know?
Yeah, I understand. It's amazing how everything's normal one day and then BAM! World pandemic hits.
Hey guys, what are you doing?
Hey, careful.
You're not too close.
Oh, okay, sure. What are you up to?
What, are you from like another planet? Haven't you heard about what's happening?
Well, what exactly?
Where are you from? You just come out from under a rock? Like, COVID-19, social distancing, avoiding a world pandemic.
Yeah, like the whole world is on shutdown right now. With no end in sight. People are afraid for their health, health of their friends, family, finances, the future.
Okay, seriously guys, you have to be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid of this. For the Lord your God is with you. He will never leave you. Don't forsake you. He says, I am with you. He says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen and help you.
How will he help us?
I'm glad you asked. Let's walk and talk.
Well, that's present day, but let's go back in the day and look at that same story from the scriptures. It's in Luke 24, 13 through 32. This message here happens on Easter Sunday morning, all right? Easter morning. The resurrection has taken place and Jesus is going to show up to these two gentlemen on the road to Emmaus. And let's pick it up in verse 13. Now behold, two men were traveling that same day on that resurrection Sunday to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. Now historians right now don't know exactly, they're not for sure where Emmaus is or where it was at the time, but they do know that it was 7 miles away. 7 miles away. Seven, an interesting number. Think about it. Seven is the number of completeness or perfection. The number of completeness or perfection. I want to, in our story, in this passage that we're going to go through and stay on this morning, I want to talk about this walk to Emmaus for these two disciples and liken it to our walk through life, our journey, our trek. This 7 mile journey that they went on is a lifetime journey for us. But I want to parallel the two here because I think there's some important things that we can learn from what Jesus spoke and what happened during this time that I think applies to us in our daily walk every day. So let's take a look at it. It says, and they talked together of these things. The two of them, they're just talking together of these things which had happened. What had happened? What had happened? Well, the buzz was about Jesus, right? Jesus and his miracles that he did and his popularity and all that was happening. And then we come to his crucifixion and they put him in a grave and now there's this buzz around that, hey, he's not there. He's gone. Some ladies, saw angels and they're telling him that he's alive. What does all of this mean? This is the buzz that was happening. This was the talk of the time. This was their big deal that was happening. Our big deal right now is this pandemic. Back there is this Jesus and our Savior and he's supposed to deliver us and then he dies and then, but he's back and we don't quite get it all. They don't quite get it all, but that was the buzz that was happening. And this rumored thought, this rumor of a resurrection. What did that mean? And so, verse 15, so it was while they conversed and reasoned. They're reasoning here. Now, this is a really important word, reason. The word reason here means to investigate jointly. It means to discuss. It comes from a word that means to seek or to worship. To seek or to worship. They were trying to figure out what was happening. They were trying to understand what the Lord was doing because it didn't quite make sense to them. Now, this isn't just, you know, around the water cooler talk at work where you say a few things and then leave, or it wasn't just a few comments. It wasn't just talk about the weather. These guys were perplexed. These guys were digging in. These guys were intense about what was going on. It wasn't just a casual day goes on like it's always gone on, but things were different just like today. Things were different. And things had much more of an urgency now than they had before. And they were digging in. They were investigating. They were seeking. They were seeking answers. It was important for them to dig deep. So while they were investigating and discussing and seeking understanding, here's what happens. Next part of the verse, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. In the midst of this intense dialogue, in the midst of this intense angst and anxiety and desire to know and have answers and wanting to know about Jesus, guess what? Jesus shows up. I talked a little while ago about how we need to draw near. Now here's Jesus drawing near. And what drew him near? What caused him to come near? It was their reasoned discussion, their intense digging, their investigation, their seeking. You see, Jesus draws near when you put him into the conversation. Jesus draws near when you put him into the conversation. I see people all the time. I don't want to say to share Christ with somebody, I go, you just start talking about Jesus, he will draw near and he will give you words in the hour of need. Believe me, he will do that. You just have to put him in the conversation and watch him take off through you. He draws near when we put him in the conversation. And he needs to be on our lips and in the conversation amongst all of this pandemic that's going on today. Because he's doing something, folks. This isn't just happening. God knew it. And God's using it. Jesus draws near when you put him in the conversation. You start talking about Jesus and he will show up. You start digging, investigating, seeking, and worshiping. He shows up. He shows up. Verse 16. But their eyes were restrained for some reason, so that they did not know him. They didn't recognize him. They didn't know who he was. They just thought it was some fellow countryman who was on the same road. They're on the road. It's a free country. Everybody's walking down the same. Well, it wasn't quite free for them. But anyway, they're walking down the road and another guy shows up. Not just another friend, another neighbor, another countryman, somebody. But I think this. It's interesting that Jesus drew near these gentlemen as they were on the road to Emmaus. I'm saying I want to parallel this road to Emmaus to our journey through life. This was seven miles away. This is a lifetime, our lifetime away. But at the end of that journey, at the end of the 7 miles, there was this completeness, there was this perfection. At the end of our journey on our road, there's this completeness, there's perfection. We get to be transferred from this life into another one. So there's some parallels here, and I don't want you to miss these. Because it's very important. What does the word Emmaus mean? Emmaus. If you look at the dictionary of scripture proper names, biblical proper names, it says this, in earnest longing. They were on a road of earnest longing for something, and that longing was for their Savior. That longing was to understand God and what He was doing. That longing was for the Lord. They were on a road, on a journey, on a trek of longing for Christ. Are we? Are we on a journey? Is our journey one of deep, intense longing, earnest longing for the Lord? That word earnest means resulting from or showing sincere and intense conviction. Serious about something. If you are earnest, you pursue your purpose in a steady, sincere, and eager way. Is that our definition of our trek after the Lord? Of our relationship with Him? Are we earnestly longing for the Lord? On our road, our trek, our journey through life, maybe not 7 miles, but a lifetime that leads to something at the end of a fullness, a completeness, a perfection, a heaven. They were in earnest longing. Are we in earnest longing of Jesus? These disciples were seeking revelation about Jesus. Are we seeking revelation about Jesus? They were on a road of earnest longing. And guess who shows up? You see, Jesus will show up and draw near as you earnestly long for Him. Oh, Jesus, come, Lord Jesus. And as you stay on the road to Emmaus, stay on that road to Emmaus. The road, that journey of life. Are we staying on the road? Have we taken a side road? Have we gotten off the road of earnest longing? Is there something else that's clouded our vision? I think that this time of the virus is a time the Lord has given us to reevaluate what is important. I think He's giving us a wake-up call. A wake-up call to the world. Now, it's for the first couple of years, I was a frat boy. I lived in the Beta House at University of Idaho. And when you went to sleep, they had a sleeping porch. You slept up on a porch with all these other guys. Now, up there, nobody wanted alarm clocks going off, so they had a call boy. And the call boy, you couldn't have an alarm clock up there. You couldn't have things going off. So in order to get up, you'd have a call boy. And you'd put down what time you wanted to get up. The call boy, he'd have to look. He's doing it throughout the morning. He picks it up. Oh, you want to get up at 7? So he comes over to you and he goes, hey, first call, 7 o'clock. And I think he gave you two calls or something like that. And then the second call, 7 o'clock. After that, he wasn't responsible to do anything anymore. He's coming over here and he's waking you. He's shaking you. And he's saying, hey, it's time. It's time. It's time. But it was your choice whether you got up or not. And believe me, there were a lot of guys who just slept through their classes. It was time, but for them, sleep was more appropriate. Sleep felt better instead of getting up and getting about the tasks of the day. It's time. And I think what Jesus is saying today, I think He's waking us saying, it's time. First call, it's time. It's time. Are we going to heed the warning? Are we going to get up? Are we going to face the day? Are we going to hear from the Lord? Are we going to see what changes He wants to make in our lives personally? Are we going to allow Him to have free reign? Are we going to, it's time, and the time passes us up because He gives us another call, and then it's, let Him sleep. Let Him sleep. I don't want to be sleeping during this time. I don't want to be sleeping during this time when God is asking something of us, when God is doing something, when Jesus Christ is drawing near. He's coming close. He's drawing near. He wants you. He's after you. He's shaking you. He's waking you. He wants us. He wants us to earnestly long for Him. Earnestly long for Him. I think that as a nation, we have veered off the road to Emmaus. We started as a nation earnestly longing for religious freedom, to earnestly longing our Savior. That's what established this nation. I think we veered off the road to Emmaus as a nation. Thank God for our president, man, who on Easter Sunday didn't mix words about the gospel and Jesus Christ and died on a cross. And I'm going, my gosh, that's not a pastor. That's our president. Now, I know he's got problems because all of us got problems. But you know what? He invoked the name of Jesus Christ unashamedly over our nation. We need to keep praying for him. He needs help. I'm thankful that he's invoking God into this. Our longing for Jesus has been replaced by other worldly longings. We've taken shortcuts. We've taken diversions. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking back to Mirror class and Pastor Carey's class, and we long for many things that cannot truly satisfy us. We long for a lot of things, and we don't get it. We keep longing for them. We keep doing them and don't realize after years and years and years and years and years, they don't really truly satisfy. They're broken cisterns. They can't hold any water. It just fades away. But as I was thinking about that, I think Jesus is using this time to show us our misplaced longing. I think Jesus is using this time to show us our misplaced longings. Look at all the broken cisterns the Lord has taken away from us. I think about it and I'm going, oh my gosh, sports. Do you know that In professional sports, there are only 2 days there's not a professional sporting activity in the whole calendar, and that's before and after the All-Star baseball game. There are only two. That there's not a professional sport. Now, I love sports, and I'm not trying to say we ditch sports and all that. I'm just saying that, isn't it interesting? Who would ever have thought we wouldn't have a sporting event? Who would ever thought that we wouldn't have a professional game going on somewhere? God can do it like that. No sports. How about vanity? All the beauty shops are closed. What are we doing now? You know, I mean, it's like, I came in and my wife is FaceTiming her sister and she's telling her, okay, now cut that piece over. No, not that piece. No. I can glue that back. Just don't. I mean, she's literally telling her how to cut her hair while she's on FaceTime, she's looking. And yeah, a little higher. Yeah, right there. Boom. How about money? Stock market. How about shopping, or at least in person? You can't do that. Online, maybe. How about a vacation? We're supposed to stay in place, right? How about school? Who would ever thought that the kids would cry out for, I want school! You don't know until it's gone what we're really missing, right? Movie theaters. How about close relationships? Oh, 6 feet, 6 feet, 6 feet. It's just interesting. Who could have made this happen? How could that ever in history happen? I couldn't have thinking of a way that could happen, but it has. Is he getting us to rethink life? Life with him? With him at the center? I think Jesus is taking our earnest longings for stuff which are shallow, empty, and temporary, and is replacing it with earnest longing for him which is deep, satisfying, and eternal. I think he's trying to, hey, wake up. Hey, wake up. It's time to get back into the groove of Jesus, where Jesus becomes a household name again, not just a slang swear word. Where his name takes on the honor and respect that's due it instead of being trivialized. Where Jesus, when they say it, isn't some swear word, where it means that Jesus Christ is the center. And when we're talking about Jesus, it's with honor and respect and reverence. I think he wants to take on a whole new meaning to us personally, to us as a state and a nation and a world. The problem is that we've gotten off the road to Emmaus. Our deep longings, our earnest longing for the Lord sometimes wanes. And so many other roads have complicated and stolen our life. It's a warning. Let's get back to basics, back to what's really important. The crucifixion. And the resurrection that we celebrate today. Hallelujah. Verse 17. And he, Jesus, said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Notice it says they're sad. They were visibly shaken by the current events of the day. Just like we're visibly shaken by the current events of today. They were emotional. They were sad. When I think about the great emotional toll on people today, on doctors, on nurses, on first responders, you see some of the heavily hit areas. You know, we don't even have a COVID-19 person in our hospital. We don't have one. Somebody was telling me. There's not one person in our hospital. Thank you, Lord. I mean, hallelujah. Thank you for that, Jesus. But I'm saying there's other places where it's a madhouse, where they're risking their lives. They're putting their lives on the line to save other people's lives. We need to be praying for them. It was a difficult time. It is a sad time for some. They're on the front lines. We have people today who are sad, worried, tired, wondering, perplexed. Verse 18. Then the one whose name was Cleopas. Then the one, we got these two disciples that are walking along the road here. One is the name Cleopas. And let me digress for a moment and talk to you about Cleopas. Some of the church fathers identify Cleopas with Clopas. Clopas, if you recall back in John 19, is the husband of Mary who stood by Jesus at the cross. Now, if you look in John, I think 16, there are three Marys there at the cross. There's Mary, his mother. There's Mary Magdalene. There's Mary, this one of Clopas. And it's believed that this Mary here was Mary, the mother of Jesus, sister-in-law. So basically when Jesus shows up, he's showing up to his uncle, right? This is his uncle he's showing up to. This lady, Mary, she was there at the crucifixion. It's believed she was also there amongst those who saw that he wasn't in the tomb. Now that's conjecture there, but they think that she could have been there because there were other women there. So here's this husband of this woman who has been following Jesus, who has eyewitness account of his death and an eyewitness account, so to speak, of his resurrection. And he's going, what does this mean? It's interesting that the word Clopas means my exchanges. My exchanges, how appropriate a name. What happens in the process on the road to Emmaus is we make an exchange with Jesus. My sin for his righteousness. It's the beauty of Easter. He's making an exchange because every one of us on our trek, on our road to Emmaus, we have to make an exchange. Our sin for his righteousness, our junk, our dirt, our filth for his righteousness, for his purity. Who wouldn't make that exchange? You're going to be not too good in the head to not think that that's a great deal for you. My exchanges. Jesus taking our place on the cross, paying our penalty for us. Do you know how important that was? It should have been you on that cross, but he took it for you. Don't let it just be forgotten. Put it back to the forefront of your mind, what it meant for him to do that. And by doing that, we got to go free. Scot free. By just simply saying, yes, Lord, come into my life. I receive you. Wow. That's mind-blowing. We need to bring our nation back to the simplicity of the gospel and what it means to let Christ be your Lord and Savior. I think it's also interesting that the other traveler with Clopas is not mentioned. That person's not mentioned. And I love some of the people in the Bible, like the Samaritan woman at the well, she's not mentioned. The woman taken in adultery, she's not mentioned. The man born blind, not mentioned. The thieves, not mentioned. Because I think that when we see these people's stories, when we put a name to it, we think, oh, that's Bob, or that's Mary. That. But when there's no name to it, I feel like God's saying, why don't you put your name in there? That we can identify with the story because, that's kind of like me. I'm this person who's, maybe I don't have six husbands, but I've gone after things over and over and over and over again that the Lord said, don't. And he was gracious to forgive me and say, hey, don't do it anymore. I think that we're supposed to get this idea that on this track with Clopas is us. It's our journey. It's our trek to completeness, to perfection, to heaven. But we have to be in earnest longing. Because if we're not in earnest longing, then we're on the wrong path. I'm on a different path. Because that path, the path to Emmaus, is only one direction. It's that way. So you've got to go that way to get to Emmaus. That way doesn't take you there. That's opposed to it. But what's happened to us, I think, as individuals, as a nation, is that we've kind of waned a little bit on this devoted path of earnest longing for our Savior. Other things have taken place. Other roads have come up. Past diversions. Or maybe it started getting a little hilly, a little tough, and so we decided, I don't know if I want to keep going, man. This walk with Jesus, this walk to Emmaus is hilly. It's hard. Yeah, it is sometimes. But He's there with us. But some just bag out. Are you earnestly longing for Jesus? Then answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things that happen here in these days at such a time as this? And I love this. Here's Jesus, the all-knowing one, right? And he said to them, what things? You know, Jesus plays coy with us sometimes. You go to him, Lord, you don't know what's going on. Well, tell me what's happening. Well, Lord, but this, Jesus said that, and I did this, and this. Gosh, well, how did that make you feel? Of course, He knows it all. Just drawing you out. What things? What things? I think I'm going to go back and speed ahead to these guys this present day. We're going to go to back in the day, this video. So it brings us up to date.
Nada. Can this day get any worse?
I sure hope not.
I'm sorry, I'm just not into this right now.
Hey, hold on. I just can't believe it. It makes no sense. He was supposed to be our Redeemer, our Savior.
For all those years, everything we'd hoped for. It all just seems so hopeless now.
Hey guys, what are you talking about?
Seriously? Where have you been? Under a rock? Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who hasn't heard what's been happening the past few days?
Well, what exactly are you talking about?
Have you not heard about Jesus?
The religious leaders, they handed him over to be put to death. He was crucified.
We had hoped that he was going to be the one to save our people.
But just this morning, some women, they went to his tomb and they found it empty. But then they came and told us that the angels told them that he's alive.
It just makes no sense. I mean, we saw him die.
Well, haven't you read the scriptures? They explain that the Savior had to suffer. To die.
The scriptures say that?
But that is not the only reason he came.
Well, tell us more.
In the book of Isaiah, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to those who are bound.
Hallelujah. Verse 27 says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Wow, could you imagine being there during that journey? He put all the scriptures that are obscure, that kind of like, see that right there? That's speaking of that, and that means that, and pulls this one over here from Isaiah, and then Jeremiah, and he's starting to pull this whole thing and this whole thread work all the way down to, here he is, he dies on a cross, and now I'm raised to live inside of you and to be your Lord and Savior and to change your life as you continue to earnestly long for me. Can you imagine being there for that discussion? I want to see that video. Hopefully it's not on VHS. Wow. Every hidden scripture, he brings revelation to it. And you know what he does today? As we earnestly long for him, he takes these scriptures today and brings revelation to them so that they change our life today. Thank you for your word, Lord. What a contemplative conversation. 7 miles, 15 minutes a mile or 20 minutes a mile, between 15 and 20 minutes a mile we can walk. That means they had an hour and 45 to 2 hours and 20 minutes just to hear Jesus expound on the scriptures. But my thought is this. Can you imagine bagging out on that conversation? Oh, yeah, okay, thanks. That's good for you. And just, at what mile do we stop listening to the Savior? We think, oh my gosh, I wouldn't get out of that conversation, but every single day he wants to speak to you. Every single day there's a conversation going on. And my question is, at what mile along the trek do we say, you know what, I'm tired. I want to sit for a while. I don't want to listen. I'm sure that those men were engaged for all of that time. They didn't stop at mile marker one or mile marker two or mile marker three. Oh God, I don't want to stop at any mile marker. I want to go all the way to Emmaus. I want to go all the way to perfection, to completeness. I want to fulfill the call that you have placed upon my life. I don't want to stop short of it. But I think a lot of people bug out after a few miles. Are you in for the long haul? The 7 mile perfection completeness. I want to complete the journey that the Lord has placed me on to stay dedicated to my one true love and to finish my race. Verse 28. Let me start to bring this to a close. Then they drew near the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further, but they constrained him. The word constrain here means compel or force someone to follow a particular course of action. I mean, he's going to move on and go, no. We've loved this dialogue. No, you're not going anywhere. You're staying here, Jesus. Abide with us. Abide with us. And that's what God longs for, that we would abide with him. And here they are crying out for it. Abide with us, Jesus. Well, they didn't know it was him. They didn't know who this guy was, but abide with us. And they constrained him. Have you ever constrained God? Have you ever got to where you pulling him and saying, Lord, I need you. I am not letting go of you. I'm constraining you in my relationship. I so need you. I don't need all of that other stuff. I'm realizing that now. But I do need you. I do need you. Abide with us. Wow, how prophetic that was. Because that's just what he did the cross for, is so he could abide and live in us. Wow. And then for it is toward evening and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass as he sat at the table with them, that he, interesting, not the host. How did Jesus, I mean, it's like for some reason they gave him this spot. That he, Jesus, he took bread. Number one, he took bread. Number two, he blessed it. Number three, he broke it. And number four, he gave it to his disciples. I thought it interesting, a pattern here. Because you're going to find the same pattern at the Last Supper in Matthew 26:26, and when they were eating, Jesus took bread. Number two, blessed it. Number three, broke it. And number four, gave it to his disciples and saying, take and eat. But it's interesting. You're going to find the same four words at the feeding of the 5,000. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looked to heaven. He blessed it and then he broke it and then he gave it to the disciples. But you're also going to see this at the feeding of the 4,000, where he took the 7 loaves of fish and he gave them, he gave thanks. He blessed them and he broke them and he gave them to the disciples. You see, there's something important that's happening here at this journey on this road to Emmaus, where we're deeply longing for him because he does something. You see, Jesus took bread. He said, I am the bread of life. He fulfilled this whole communion thing. Jesus blessed. He's blessed by the Father at his baptism. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Thirdly, Jesus was broken for our sins at the cross. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. You see, he was broken for our sins. And fourthly, Jesus gave himself to his disciples. He gave himself to the world. He gave himself to you. He's just asking, let me in. Let me in. Let me in. He died for the whole world, but we have to let him in before he becomes our Lord, our Savior, our earnest longing. But you know what I was thinking? That's what we're supposed to do too, isn't it? Take, number one, your life to bless and thank God for it. Thirdly, broken. Walk a lifestyle of brokenness and humility, not of arrogance. And fourthly, give your life away. For whosoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses, gives his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. There's something powerful in what he asked us to do in this breaking of bread, in this communion that we're going to celebrate in just a moment. Something powerful. And look in verse 31. After they have this communion, after they take, bless and broken and give. And it says, then after this, right after this, right after this, then their eyes were opened and they knew him. Oh my gosh. We've been on this road and in the breaking of bread, when these four things are in place in our lives, and all of a sudden we start seeing Jesus. And then he vanished. Oh my gosh. Oh, it's you. I have one more question. He's gone. Well, I'll have to wait for heaven. Their eyes were opened as they broke bread, as they broke open something, as the bread of life was laid before them. All of a sudden, they saw him. This is the bread of life. He's the bread. As we spend time in earnest longing of him, we will see him. We will see him. Communion. Communion was an aha moment for them. In the breaking of bread, when they broke open the word. An aha moment. And then, verse 32, and they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked? While he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scripture to us, didn't we just burn as Jesus opened up himself and fed us? Oh God. Oh God, that we would burn for a earnest longing for you as these people on Easter Sunday did. You see, Jesus connected the dots. He connected the dots for them. Oh, this is this. Oh my gosh. You see, you get into the word and Jesus is going to start connecting dots for you. He's going to start understanding why this happened in my life, Lord. I've been bemoaning this all. Oh, I see how you're using it, Lord. I see. Oh, I'm supposed to continue to have hope and believe and you can use this thing and you make even the tough things good and it's for the purposes of God. And oh, whoa. All of a sudden he makes all the difference because he opens up this to us. He connects the dots. He brings the revelation. He gives us the aha moment. a visceral connection. Our hearts burned. When was the last time your heart burned for Jesus? Do we need to make a course correction? Do we need to get back on the road to Emmaus? Connected the dots. He'll connect the dots for you and give you those aha moments. And what's the result of all of that? After we have these aha moments with the Lord, let's go back to our players for one last short video.
Can you even believe what just happened?
No, but yes, I mean, I'm still shaking. I'm in awe.
Me too. But it all makes so much sense. Didn't our hearts burn within us when he explained the scriptures on the way to Emmaus?
And then later, he took the bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it, and then gave it to us, and it clicked. I mean, it's him. It's Jesus.
I've never been so sure of anything. My heart is pounding so fast, it's on fire.
We were with Jesus. That means it happened. He's risen.
He's risen indeed. We have to go tell people. Come on.
Hallelujah. What's the result of that time with Jesus? That time in the Word where he feeds us with the bread of life? We got to go tell somebody. We got to go tell somebody. This Easter Sunday, tell somebody. And then on Monday, tell somebody. And on Tuesday, tell somebody. And on Thursday, give somebody hope. That hope is that Jesus, he loves you. And he'll connect the dots of your life. He'll bring you revelation if you'll just give him a moment. Let's end with communion. I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 26, Paul's instructions to us. Please gather, make sure you've got your elements together. If you need to, get a piece of bread, get some water. The elements aren't as important as the reason why we're doing it, to remember. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, here they are again, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he blessed it. He broke it and said, take, he gave it, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Please, let's do this together. Grab your piece of bread or a roll or whatever you have at home, or the elements that we've given you. This represents the body that was broken. Bones weren't broken, but it was disfigured and ripped apart and torn. And Jesus gave himself for us. His body broken. And that's why we eat this, to remember. Remember. Remember me. Remember what I did. Remember I'm here for you. Remember I want to draw near. I long for you to long for me. Remember. So Lord, this day we together as a congregation and all those viewing, we now take this bread representing your body in thankful remembrance of what you did for us. Let's all partake together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for your life. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for drawing near to me. Thank you for coming to me, Lord, and giving me the idea, hey, I need Jesus. It wasn't my idea, it was yours. Thank you for grabbing me by the nape of the neck, Lord, and not letting me go. Thank you for answering all those prayers when I said, Lord, please don't ever let me go my own way. Thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross for me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." And ladies and gentlemen, he's coming again. He's coming. He's coming again. This juice that represents his blood was completely poured out for us at Calvary. The blood depleted from his body as a sacrifice to ratify the covenant that he would save us. Father, we're thankful that you were willing to endure all that happened to give us freedom, to bring us salvation, to open heaven's door. And this we take in remembrance of you, Lord. We remember you when we say, "Maranatha, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus." It was in the breaking of bread and the drinking of the cup that, Lord God, you revealed yourself. We pray, Lord, that even now, as we partake, that you would reveal yourself in a new way to us, Lord, as we walk our Emmaus walk through our journey through life. Thank you, Lord. Let's take together. Woohoo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you endured for us. Let's pray. Father, I pray that truly we would earnestly long for you, that our walk to Emmaus, our 7-mile trek, we wouldn't stop when it starts going uphill, that we wouldn't bag out when it gets difficult. But Lord, we would walk with you day by day, arm in arm. We know you don't have the virus, so we can walk arm in arm with you. And we ask, Lord, do all that you want. Connect the dots. Give us revelation. Give us aha moments as we spend time with you, as we enjoy this walk, this trek, this road to Emmaus for you. We love you, Jesus, and we bless you. In that precious name we pray. Amen. We're going to end with a song. I just want you to know, we love you guys so much. And kids, I hope you enjoyed your suckers today. I've got more. If you just drive by the church, we'll throw them out in the parking lot for you. We love you guys. We bless you. Earnestly long and enjoy your walk to Emmaus. God bless.